coming to you from the HagmanReport.com studio, located in the Keystone State, birthplace of a mighty nation. It's your host, Doug Hagman.
Welcome to this edition of the Hagman Report. It is Monday, June 19th, 2023. Gen 6, Expeditions Overdrive, Evidence Beyond Argument. We have with us Steve Quayle and Jesse. Okay, now, again, let me say this again. Gen 6, Expeditions Overview. I'm sorry. Did I say overdrive? It's an overdrive overview. I'll tell you that. Evidence Beyond Argument. And this is with Jesse and Steve. I'm going to tell you something. This is an important program because it's going to get into a lot of things that relate to what's going on today, but provides accurate historical backdrop. Forget, and I'm telling you right now, forget a lot of stuff that you might see in other channels. Certainly don't trust your eyes because with certain things, because some of this is CGI. But what Steve Quayle and Jesse do, it's a real thing. Now, I'm going to read something at the front end of this that we can build from. This is a quote from Jacques Vallée. Human beings are under the control of a strange force that bends them in absurd ways, forcing them to play a role in a bizarre game of deception. Did you hear that? Let those words resonate with you. We are dealing with a yet unrecognized level of consciousness, independent of man, but closely linked to Earth, writes Jacques Vallée. I do not believe anymore that UFOs are simply the spacecraft of some race of extraterrestrial visitors. This nation is too simplistic to explain their appearance. The frequency of their manifestations through recorded history and the structure of the information exchanged with them during contact. Think about that. And isn't that true? Now with me again is Steve Quayle. I'm sorry. Quote number two. That's right. Hang on. Let me get this. Folks, if you're watching this, and I ask that you do so, please subscribe to us on Rumble. Look, I know that there's people that haven't done so already. Please do that today, as well as Brighteon. Okay. This is another quote by Jacques Vallée. Extremely important. And thank you so much, Eric the Tech, for reminding me of this. The medical examination to which abductees are said to be subjected, often accompanied by sadistic sexual manipulation. Does that sound familiar? Is reminiscent of the medieval tales of encounters with demons. It makes no sense in a sophisticated or technical framework. Any intelligent being equipped with scientific marvels that UFOs possess would be in a position to achieve any of those or of these alleged scientific objectives in a shorter time with fewer risks. And again, that comes from Jacques Vallée. With me again is Steve Quayle and Jesse. Gen 6 Expeditions. This is Gen 6 Expeditions Overview. Evidence Beyond Argument with Jesse and Steve. Steve, go ahead.
Well, one of the things that's really important that people have to come to grips with is we're dealing with supernatural evil. It's interesting, Doug, because one of the common denominators in people who have been abducted beyond the loss or sense of time, which is called time dilation, is the fact that these lost, hours, sometimes even days, are due to a gravitational anomaly that is produced by the advanced technology of what's called electrogravitic propulsion. That means in order to overcome gravity, you have to have a force that basically equalizes, neutralizes, or exceeds it. But even beyond that technology of the fallen, I'm on record as saying the fallen angels, specific classes of them, they had their wings clipped, so to speak, by the living God. And that's where the advanced technology comes in. Now, what we've done with Gen Expeditions, Gen 6 Expeditions, is Jesse has gone out in the field for multiple years, tracking down all the different artifacts, overseeing our expeditions, which to this point are the only expeditions that have shown the actual unearthing of alien artifacts, Egyptian artifacts, pre-flood of Noah artifacts, and even the pre-creation of Adam and Eve artifacts. And I want to go on record as saying, in all of this, since Jesse and I began our cooperative efforts, Jesse, has been dealing with such supernatural evil, everything from multiple orbs to fallen angels, but I'm talking about intelligence that is mostly, most UFO researchers don't even want to deal with the spirit realm. They want to go into the world, well, God made billions of stars and planets. Certainly there are billions of stars with inhabitants, different from human beings. So there's two camps. The camp, basically, of these are aliens, these are foreign creations, and if they are creations, what makes anybody think the living God who created us in his image and likeness would duplicate something so ugly? Well, the answer is he wouldn't. So today, Jesse's going to come on and talk about what it takes to literally deal in this realm, because obviously he comes from a redeemed gang background. And we've fortunately been able to get Jesse's entire testimony on video, which is going to be mind-blowing to a lot of people, which is going to be incorporated in the next DVD we're doing, and it's called the Legacy Series. And that you're going to see shovel by shovel, because there's a lot of people out there that take pot shots at Jesse and take pot shots at me and take pot shots at us. But they've never established, and we've never said ground-penetrating radar was new to us. We just said that we've used 11 different variations of it to come up with the antique. So Jesse, in the first half hour of the show, deal with the supernatural nature of evil that has been associated with all of these artifacts and what you personally have encountered. And I'm going to give it over to you now, because people need to understand that. Go ahead, sir.
Hey, thank you, Steve. Thank you, Doug. Okay. I'm going to go off of, first and foremost, the comment that Doug read to us from Shock Ballet, something that resonated in my spirit that was immediately highlighted also in my mind when he read, give a description based upon the movements of the spirit realm and the forces that influence us. But before I say anything about that, I just want to let the public know that, you know, that the scripture is very clear. It paints a very clear picture of the unseen realm and the supernatural activity that's happening around us. And I'm never going to make a conclusion. I'm never going to make a conclusion based upon my own conjecture or my own experience. But instead, I will always try to use and align my experiences with the Word of God. I will not go outside or past what the Word of God says. And to a lot of people's surprise, this activity, a lot of it in detail, can be found in God's word. Now, going back to what Doug read about Jacques Vallée, there's two words that he read in the little article he just mentioned right now. One is frequency, and the other is structure. Frequency is these spiritual forces and these entities being able to have. And is these spiritual forces and these entities being able to have access to us? The second one is structure. It comes from the basis of their operation on how they're moving and how they're able to manifest themselves. And being spiritual beings, we know that a fallen angel can go from spirit to manifesting himself corporally, to function and move within this three-dimensional realm that we exist in. So when it comes to the fallen angels, it's a whole total different scenario than what I have experienced with demonic forces. But it's also the same thing when it comes to frequency, because frequency is them being able to align themselves with us outside of God's word, which is the only place that we can find our protection. Now, in order for a demonic entity or even a fallen angel to have true access to us, they need to have something in common with us. The best place that I can use in scripture is when Jesus encountered the Gadarene demoniac, and the Gadarene demoniac immediately ran up to him and he fell on his knees and he says, "What have I to do with you, Jesus, thou Son of God, thou Son of the Most High God?" When the demon within the Gadarene demoniac was speaking to Jesus and said, "What have I to do with you?" What he was trying to do is trying to find something in common with him that they could come into agreement, thereby the entity within the man being able to have access to Jesus's person. And it's the same thing with us, with the supernatural realm and these entities that are moving within it, is that they need to find common ground with us outside of God's word. And the only way that they can, have any type of access to us is if we are living outside of God's word. The scripture says in the book of Proverbs, chapter 21, verse 16, it says that the man that wanders away from understanding the will of God shall remain in the congregation of the dead. Now, if we take a look at the word dead in the Hebrew, it translates to Rephaim. And we all know that the Rephaim are the disembodied spirits to the giants who once roamed here on the earth. And when it comes to now that right there was frequency. When it comes to structure, Steve and Doug, you guys both know that I live here on the coast of Baja, Tijuana, and I live in front of the ocean, and I see a lot of UFO activity coming out of those waters. I see a lot of lights that merge together and that form themselves into things that, if I was to even mention it, a lot of people wouldn't even believe it. But what I'm saying is that let's remember that I'm going off of structure right now, and these entities need to have some type of structure. And I believe that that the ocean plays a significant role in the way that they structure themselves for them to be able to move and to operate and to ride on these types of frequencies. I believe that there's some type of spiritual component. I believe that there's some type of special component within the water and the oxygen molecule that plays a major role with them and their ability to structure and how they move, based upon how I see them moving in and out of the water.
Forgive me for interrupting, but you, sir, and Steve Quayle have been talking about this for years, while now I'm looking at social media only recognizing that just now. Had they listened to you years ago, They'd be that much further ahead. You're further ahead than anyone else I know. Go ahead, sir.
Well, and Jesse, just let me lay one thing out for everybody. The Coronado Islands is where the Nimitz in the vicinity encountered all the Tic Tac UFOs that were the biggest news in the world at the time that was released. Years ago, not before they even released those DVDs, Jesse was sending me film and also still shots of the Coronado Islands. We really caused a lot of trouble on the Hagman Show, thank you, Jesus, when we were talking about the secret alien base, joint U.S. alien base, that even U.S. fighter pilots' clearances were not, they weren't allowed to know that. So, I want to go on record. This was on your show,
Doug. I remember. Yeah.
And the other thing I want people to understand is this, that in essence, what Jesse is talking about, I want him to talk, is the fact, go ahead, Jesse, and take it from here. But literally, you have seen those entities leave the water and literally show up in your house before you're living where you're living now, and don't tell anybody exactly where you're living. But you started sharing with me the different manifestations. Share the time that they, the entities, the fallen ones, tried to literally abduct you. Would you do that? Because again, we only have an hour, so this has got to be one of the most compressed interviews you've ever done. Go ahead.
Okay, so I'm going to compress it and get to the point, because it does carry out, and there's a lot of things that one of the things that I'm grateful for now at this moment is that it was during a duration of probably about 2 weeks, and from within the beginning of those 2 weeks, 1, 2, 3, 4 days, 5 days, 6 days, I was already seeing them come in the distance. I was seeing them maneuver and manifest around my house, rising up out of the waters. And, you know, I would suddenly ask people, you know, I would say, hey, what do you think those lights that are just off the coast of the islands could be? And everybody gave me the same answer. And, you know, people think that they're lights to fishing boats, but that's just a whole nother thing that I'm going to get into. The day that they entered into my house, and the only reason they had access to me is because, due to my own chagrin, Steve and Doug, I don't take pride in saying this, but it's the truth. And I'm going to say it in hopes that it will help other people to know and to understand that the difficulties that we encounter that are brought about by spiritual demonic forces that can't keep us in bondage and torment us only comes about the mind state and our obedience to God. In 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 5, it tells us that we should always be prepared to punish disobedience when our obedience is fulfilled. Now, when we're walking in obedience and in righteousness with God, we will see God and they cannot touch us. Now, the time that these entities entered, they had access to me. They were able to get this close to me because of my disobedience to God at the time. I was doing my own thing, Steve. I don't want to get into detail about what I was doing, but I was just doing my own thing. I had multiple partners, drinking, so on, et cetera. And one day I was in my bedroom, and I felt the hairs on the back of my neck rise up. And I felt that there was another presence in my room and in my home. And I couldn't see nothing. So I lit up my camera. I turned on my phone, lit up my camera phone, and I started scanning my bedroom. And then from my bedroom, I began seeing orbs coming in through the window. And once they came in through the window, I see them going in and out of my drawers. And, you know, I was like, what the heck? So I stood up and I decided to scan the rest of the house. And when I went into my living room, there was 5 orbs that shifted into 5 alien grays. And these 5 alien grays looked at me, and I looked at them, and you know, my first reaction inside is I was terrified. And it wasn't that I was terrified because of what they looked like or because I was unable to fully grasp or recognize what it was that I was experiencing, but it was more the power that they have with them. These things bring power with them. And this type of power is a supernatural power that we outside the presence of God will not be able to survive. When I go back and think about this day, when I go back and I want to learn or expand my understanding based upon what it is that we're dealing with when we're seeing these types of entities move above us and around us in the skies and influencing us through our culture and everything that we consume and everything that we find all around us, I always go back to that day to try to understand the root core of how these things, how these things move and how they operate and what it is that I felt when I experienced it. And I know that, and once again, you know, I'm not happy to say this and I'm not proud of this, but, I lost control of my bodily functions, Steve. Once I was trying to process what it was that I was seeing, I laughed.
Yeah, hey, Jesse, fear. That's okay. Yeah, that's okay. The point is, though, is they had demonstrable physiological effects on your human body, correct?
Yes, they did. Immediately, my body responded in terror. And I'm a, look, I'm not trying to be proud and I'm not trying to be boastful or anything, Stephen Doug, but I'm a pretty formidable opponent to any man. You know, I take care of myself. I go to the gym, I exercise, you know, I like to, you know, maintain my physique and be healthy, especially when we go to these expeditions. So when these things manifested in front of me, all of that was out the window, you know? Then once I felt something tugging and pulling, I could no longer see them at this point, but then I was feeling them. And once I felt something pulling at my ankle and began to drag me, I began to cry out like a little baby. I mean, it's kind of embarrassing for me to say it, but it's the truth. I cried out like a little baby to the Lord. I said, Lord, if you help me and not let these entities take me, whatever it is that I'm dealing with, I promise that I will surrender my life to you and I will serve you for the rest of my days. And immediately they let me go.
Doug, I think what's critical to people understanding, and this is what, you know, what before Jesse goes on the expeditions, and this is where we differ from everybody. And Jesse, I want you to explain, you don't have to name names, but a very well-known adventurer who had a TV show, they went into the same areas we went into, actually you, not we, you. This gringo doesn't do a thingo in Mexico without you. But the bottom line is that their success was not achieved. And not only that, but one of their people got kidnapped, did he not? And was held for a very huge ransom. So ladies and gentlemen, when Jesse says, if you've ever seen, and look, the guy's tough. I mean, Jesse, you are. And God has made his strength your strength. But you don't come out of the world of gangs like you did, rising, and this is all in his testimony. We don't have the time to take it. But you don't come out of the world of gangs and assume the position you assumed in the Mexican mob without being tough. But I think it's important that people understand something. Before you can go into these areas, God won't let you go before prayer and fasting. Now, that's important because Jesus said this kind of evil spirit doesn't come out without much prayer and fasting. And Doug, the whole point of today's show is this. We're encountering massive amounts of UFOs and UAPs. And UAPs, what I call that is chicken feed talk for unidentified flying entities. I'll call them UFEs. And the point is that Jesse, deal, if you would, just address the issue of the kidnapping. And the day you and our cameraman, Vinny, show up there in the town you showed up in, what, eight people were killed the day before? Was it eight or 10 that were murdered in the gangland slaying?
There was 11.
Oh, 11.
And there was 11 people that were killed the day before we began filming. But let me begin from the first comment that you made is that... you know, that I go in there. Nah, Steve, we both go in there. You know, if it wasn't for you, I wouldn't be in there. And even though you're not there with me physically, I know that you're there with me spiritually. And you play, in my heart, you play a greater part in all of this than I could ever play. So,
I think it's important, Doug. I think it's important that the Hagman family of listeners, those, and Jesse, we need to say this, if it were not for the support of our fundraisers, if it were not for the support of prayer, Jesse, not a day goes by where people say, I was led to pray for Jesse last night. I was led to pray for you last night. So what I want to make this really clear to everyone, we could not have had this success without your, my brothers and sisters, and fellow believers praying for our safety, for the success, and the spiritual battles that are out there are unimaginable. Why God is having us give this stuff to everybody right now is, look, we're about Jesus Christ. And we're not about, you know, trying to make a name for ourselves. Jesse and I and Daniel Holdings, I have one prime directive, and that's to lift Jesus higher. And Doug, God bless you, brother. You've given us this platform. But because everybody is going to deal with, even what, last week, 10 days ago, the Las Vegas aliens. I'm telling everybody, you haven't seen anything yet. Because when the invisible becomes visible, when the very powers of darkness start manifesting openly, God is going to strip them of their cloaking ability, and then it's a whole different world. So by hearing Jesse's testimony, and Jesse, you know this, the scripture says, let the man whom the Lord has redeemed say so. So I'm going to give it right back to you, because again, we have to put this in the context, Doug. If it weren't for your listeners, our supporters, those of you who buy the DVDs, we couldn't do what we do. And that's not patronizing. That's not flattering. That's just truth. It's so reality. In essence, you guys, you have been with us and you have been part of the expedition. Sure, you don't go with Jesse. I don't go with Jesse, but we do in spirit. And collectively, amen. God has made Jesse the bow of the icebreaker. And Jesse, again, if you would, please, I don't mean to interrupt you, but explain the evil that's associated, because you told me one time, and I believe it, and then I know this from other places around the world, everybody pretty much who comes into contact with the artifacts believes that the aliens created them. Is that not accurate?
Yes, that's you hit the nail on the head right there, Steve. And that's one of the things that I always constantly bring into prayer, is that I'm dealing with people who are worshiping these entities. The people who I have to deal with in order for me to get certain type of access to certain areas to be able to do what we do. And, you know, once again, Steve and Doug, you know, I just want to thank all the people, all the listeners who do pray for us and give us their support. And I just want you to know one thing, is that that there is a lot of counterfeit out there. There's a lot of people counterfeiting stuff like this, but the whole purpose to why me and Steve do what we do is to investigate, and so that we can go, so that I can go onto these locations and sift out the counterfeit, because there is counterfeit. There is people who are faking this type of stuff. There are people who are not being honest about this type of stuff, but the only reason that they're making a counterfeit of it is because this type of information and these type of materials, these types of artifacts, they're worth money. The information is worth money, and that's why they counterfeit. But this is why it's so important for me to go into these locations and investigate, so that I can sift through all the false, all the fake, all the counterfeit, and bring the real. Steve, you know that prior to us even filming or beginning production on any of these locations, that I had been dealing with these people. Before I hooked up with you, Steve, I already knew in my mind, based upon what had been shown to me from the people that I was dealing with then, that this stuff was real. Before I even brought it to you, I had already done the work necessary in order for me to believe that what I was doing was something solid, something real, and that it was from God. I didn't get that. I didn't get the confirmation of how real the situation really was until you entered into my life, Steve, until the Lord hooked us up and put us together, so that we can be able to do and bring to the people what it is that we have through these productions. And that is to bring them the evidence of these artifacts, which in my mind, and I like to call it and label it, that these are the footprints and the fingerprints of the fallen sons of God. These are the footprints that they have left behind, the evidence of their presence here throughout the millennia and their interaction with human beings and their intentions and how they intend to bring about the next level of onslaught and attack towards humanity so that they can destroy our souls.
Doug, you want to comment on that? Or
wow, no. Continue, please.
Okay. I think, Jesse, too, that it's important to let people know. I'm on record, and again, flesh and blood did not reveal what I'm saying, and I'm giving God the glory because I've said that nations are going to break away from the United States' control of their narrative, their artifacts, and keeping a hush on true history. I also said that, in my opinion, it would be Mexico and Egypt. I think you and I have talked about that, Jesse, and obviously I've said it on this show. But I want you to share the attention that the expeditions have garnered. This is a good point to transition. When you were invited to the Mexican Senate, and that people are paying attention. And again, I'm going on record. I believe it'll be Mexico or Egypt, or maybe simultaneously. But the bottom line is, as these nations reject the United States dollar, there is no more value to keeping them hushed up with money. So explain the invitation that was given to you. Because, ladies and gentlemen, this is the living God. This, what Jesse's going to share with you excites me, is the fact that people are recognizing, sure, that our jealous haters won't admit it, but Jesse, share what went on with your life, you know, and share only the parts that you feel are safe to. No names, just, you know where I'm going with this. Please share that.
Thank you, Steve. I'm glad that you brought this up because I believe that this is something monumental that's happening with the work that we are doing for God's kingdom, because at the end of the day, that's who we're doing it for, and we're doing it for God's people. But we have, through the grace of God, we have and are getting the attention of a lot of Mexican politicians from the Senate. Steve, you know that I think it was 4 months back. There's this University of Investigations of Sciences. It's called Advanced University of Investigations and Sciences. It's a school for it's a school that's raising up researchers and investigators in this field, in this type of field, which is the UFO, fallen angel, extraterrestrial phenomena, etc. And this school is directly connected to a good number of politicians from the Mexican Senate. And you know, Steve, that 4 months ago, they sent us a letter. I sent you your copy and I kept mine. And in this copy, they invited us to be in attendance towards where the UFO phenomena, the UFO presence here on Earth must be addressed by the Mexican government. The head doctor of this university, whom I know personally and whom I deal with personally, has and is bringing the topic before the Senate and asking the Senate to recognize it. So when the Senate called for a meeting, I was there in attendance, and basically what this university is asking the Senate is for them to give funds to the university in order for them to continue their investigations. And based upon the work that we've done, Steve, with the trailers that we have, the first trailer and the second trailer, this university is using it as their head poster for advertisement of the extraterrestrial presence.
Hey, Jess, in essence, yeah. You guys, this is very cool. Jesse's established protocols of unearthing the artifacts in real time were the only ones that were able in the contemporary time period to establish provenance and authenticity. And they have their museum and curators in the background. And ladies and gentlemen, the bottom line is Jesse's taken them almost like Star Trek, where they've not gone before. And so now, and Doug, this is very cool,
is, and I'm excited, so I don't mean to overtalk you, Jesse, but the point is Jesse's efforts have been recognized by the Mexican government. Go back to what I just said. The day Mexico announces we have alien artifacts, we have Egyptian artifacts, we have artifacts going back literally tens of thousands of years, everything is going to fall into place, from the pyramids. And by the way, it's not just the Aztecs. You know, we can go back prior to even the Toltec Empire. But the bottom line is, ladies and gentlemen, again, this is critical. Now, Egypt just announced they're going into the new economic BRICS financial sphere. They're going to break ranks too. And what's going to tie Egypt and Mexico together instantly are the artifacts. Doug, I'm sounding like an investigator now. Are the artifacts that portray both the Egyptian, the false gods? By the way, those things weren't just guys wearing headdresses. Those were mutagenic creatures. And the tie between Mexico and Egypt, and Egypt's entire supernatural alien connection. This is why, even as that word was spoken years ago on your show, that God's going, that nations are going to break loose of the control of the United States government. And for those who are in the government listening, no man is doing this. It is the living God who is bringing this stuff out. Go ahead, Jess.
Okay, so where we're at right now is, you know, and the doctor to this university, he's pretty much the way that I see him in his approach towards me and towards our work, Steve, is I believe that because he has brought this before the Mexican Senate, I believe that he wants to be associated with it. And Steve, I'm not looking for recognition from anybody. The only thing I'm looking to do is to be approved by God and make sure that I do what he has assigned me to do as best as I can. But this is what's happening. And I have to discern situations, people and situations and their intentions when they come before me. And the way that I see this doctor is they know because they've sat with me and they've gone on the field with me after the documentaries, after the filming and after the production and after the trailers have been filmed. You know, I go constantly to Mexico City and I meet up with these guys, and they all of a sudden I noticed that they're extremely eager to be associated with me because of the evidence that we presented. And that same evidence that we presented in the trailers, Steve, is the same evidence that's being presented to the politicians in the Senate. So I just got off the phone 2 days ago with one of my contacts that's connected to all of these people. And he was telling me that the same doctor who is the founder of this university and the school and the programs and so on, et cetera, is that they want to have a presentation for I think about 15 politicians at his house. And they want us to present the artifacts to them in order to convince them to sign off on the bill that was given to them 4 months ago for further investigations and for further funding of these investigations. So I haven't given him an answer. And another thing, another thing that also really is highlighted in my mind, Steve, is that since they're using our content as the cover for their identity, the Gen 6 trailers, they have also offered me two different types of investigation degrees from recognizing my efforts from this university. And in my response to the situation, I didn't tell them, oh yes, I'll take them, I'll do this and that, because I'm more paying attention to the situation in the area where they're asking me to go before these politicians and make a presentation on these artifacts, along with a couple other investigators from this university. And this is not something that I've given them a definite answer to. This is something that I'm praying about, but this is the reality of what's happening within the ranks of the Mexican government, and they are looking in our direction. They are paying attention to it. Something else that I always think about when meditating on, you know, the situations and the circumstances is the Coronado Islands, Stephen, Doug, is these entities are moving in and out, whether we're talking about evil spirits, whether it be the disembodied spirits of the Nephilim, the Rephaim, the Zanzumin, so on, etc. There's fallen angels moving in and out of these waters. And I see these angels sometimes, probably in the past 8 years, you know, not to exaggerate, I've seen them about three times going into the vessels from under the water. You have three mainly, and on other occasions, four oil tanker vessels that extend probably about 360 meters in length, weighing over 200 or 300 tons. So these are pretty giant vessels. And I see the orbs, which are fallen angels. I know the function of an orb that's a fallen angel and the function of an orb that's an evil spirit.
Hey, Jesse, make the differentiation for people, because I think it's really critical, because in essence, until you told me, I didn't understand the difference. But here's the thing. Even the latest UAP, unidentified aerial phenomenon, that was being tracked in Colorado 2 days ago, it was picked up. The orb was picked up by a UFO, you don't know this yet, a retrieval team. And the retrieval team, the gentleman that gave the report, man, he gave a wonderful report, but it was dispatched, you're going to love it, out of Area 51. So it was something of an extra dimensional. So to share the difference, how do you tell if it's a fallen angel? How do you tell if it's a craft? Because some of you know this, those tic-tac kind of more oblong, like a tic-tac, Andy, those things can morph into multiple shapes. Please share with people how you differentiate, or how the Lord has taught you how to differentiate.
Okay, well, the tic-tac is just a form of an algorithm. That's one fallen angel operating in a certain shape. I've seen that same tic-tac. I've seen that same tic-tac here on different occasions, probably about 10, 11 times at a distance, coming in and out of the water at different speeds and high velocities, and even sometimes at low speeds. But the difference, the way that I differentiate is that first and foremost, we need to understand that the same subatomic particles that make up our body are the same particles and the same outline that make up our solar system in the universe. And these entities cannot function outside of that. So when we see these entities in an orb shape, basically what they're doing is they're operating on a molecular level. And the reason I say molecular level is because when you look at a water or an atom molecule under a microscope, you're going to see an orb. And when you look at the frame, it varies from misty water to clouds and rainbow donuts. And this is what the atom molecule looks like under the microscope. And it's the same thing when I see these entities moving in the orb shape. But one thing I know is that the evil spirits always are always in different colors. They're always in red, blue, and yellow. These are the evil spirits, the ones that I see and the ones that I study here off the coast of the islands. I've also seen these spirits attach themselves to fallen angels, as a fallen angel will shift from an orb and turn itself into a UFO, while the red, blue, and yellow lights that are attached onto that UFO are actually their children, which are the evil spirits, the disembodied spirits of the giants.
Hey, Jesse, then when you encounter, like, for instance, you sent me a picture early on, and ladies and gentlemen, the only picture I've ever seen of a portal opening and then a literally a spacecraft coming through, and we put it up multiple times in the private briefings and other places, and that caused a big stir too, Doug. You know, the bottom line is that was some people that Jesse was meeting with in the field. Jesse, I'm talking about the guy that was literally surrounded by, what, 1,000 orbs? You remember that photograph? It's on my website. And so, ladies and gentlemen, we're talking about trans-dimensional entities that can take on human form. That and the scripture is very clear that Satan himself manifests himself as an angel of light. And again, what's critical, I think, and Jesse, this is why it's so important, is that people understand that very soon, what you've been experiencing almost on a nightly basis or an every night basis, it's going to become so common. And people who aren't grounded in the Word of God, and Doug, that's our prime directive, and you've been so gracious to allow us access to your platform, is to get the people of God prepared for the biggest deception in the history of the world, that Jesus said if he didn't shorten the days, there'd be no flesh left alive. And it gets right back again to, if you will, the quantum physics or the ultra black physics, meaning outside the realm of normal physics understanding of how the devil is going to seduce and does seduce the human race. So that's why, and I want to bring it right back to the Gen 6 expeditions, evidence without arguments. People can say, they can deny it. Jesse, when you're down in a 9-foot hole and you've got, what, you know, a dozen guys hand digging the hole, and I mean, it's blistering hot, you're cutting out roots, you're unearthing these things, and everything, and I want to share this, I have yet to see a pretty alien, a beautiful alien creature. I've just seen some of the most hellish, impish, wicked consortiums, and even in the panels we have, and we sometimes don't put them out there, ladies and gentlemen, because we just don't want to, you know, fill your mind with trash, but there are some really horrible birth panels of things that make Rosemary's Baby look like a beauty queen. And that's not an embellishment. So, you know, again, Jesse, you know, share just, if you will, the efforts. And we, this, our new film, it's being edited right now. Look, you know, people, if you miss a shovelful, and then if you would share that right now, you know, when you're down at 9 feet, And you're hitting, unintended, pay dirt, and then all the time when you're down there, you got to deal with the gangs on the left hand in the city, 11 people murdered the day before, and then you got to deal with all the spook spies and, you know, wannabe Casper the Friendly Ghost people. What I mean by that are intelligence agents from multiple countries that absolutely have a fascination in this stuff. So that's kind of a bunch of questions, but deal with it. Because, Doug, how long does Jesse have? I'll shut up and let him have it.
We've got about 10 minutes, but let me interject a kind of a basic question here. So the artifacts that you find, Jesse, to me, it would be like a cold case, crime scene. Okay, we found evidence, and you're bringing up that evidence. You've got suspects basically to your right. You've got potential perpetrators and suspects to your left, as Steve just described. My question to you is, briefly, if this was a cold case, in a sense, that we're dealing with, the artifacts that you're bringing up, the evidence that you're bringing up, are the suspects still, when I say suspects, I'm talking about the producers, the users, the people behind this evidence, do they walk still among us?
Yes, they do.
All right.
They're still walking among us. They're interacting. They're operating from every major platform.
In human form, perhaps?
Yes, I still see them, because I live right here in front of the ocean, and I see them come out of the ocean all the time in lights. There's been two different occasions where I've had the opportunity to, one time I seen two orbs at a distance, probably, I'm going to try to be precise in my distance. I was able to capture it with my 600 millimeter camera, which is this camera that you gave me, Steve. I believe it was probably about a little bit less than a mile away. And what I caught with the video camera was two orbs moving and functioning in the way that you would see two bees or two wasps just fighting with each other, turning in every single which way, left to right, up to down, north to south, east to west, so on, et cetera, at a very extremely high velocity. I seen it at the distance, and I immediately grabbed my camera, and I began to, you know, film it, take some video of it. And then something in my mind said to me, Jesse, snap some pictures of it. And I began to snap it. And I probably took about like 100 pictures, including with the, like a 2-minute video. And I just, you know, after I did what I did, because I'm so used to seeing this type of phenomena and activity coming in and out of the ocean, it was just like another take. I just didn't want to just, you know, see what I had the opportunity to witness and just be like, it's just another orb, or I've seen that all the time. I know all there is to know about all this. No, there isn't. I don't believe that I know enough. But what I learned from me being able to film these two orbs that were moving in the way, like I said, in the way that you would see two wasps or two bees just going at it with each other in a high velocity, turning in different directions, kind of like an atom or a molecule would turn on the orbital scale at a high velocity. This is how these two orbs were turning. But once I took the video and I snapped the pictures, I set the camera down and I went about my way. As like, because the main thing for me is spend time with God, pray, and read the Bible. Spend my time with the Lord, because why? That's where I'm safe. I know what I'm dealing with, and I know what I'm up against, and I know that these entities are dangerous. I've had the opportunity to experience them on so many different levels, that has allowed me to know and to understand that outside of God's presence, I can't survive this. There's no way that I can get anything done if I don't have God's favor and his protection on my life. So once I put the camera down, and I probably let about 11 days go by before, I felt something just saying to me, check the camera. So, I grabbed the camera and I looked in, at the video first, and of course you see the two orbs turning and, going at it and twisting and moving like, two atoms or two molecules on an orbital scale. And so I was like, all right, let me take a look at the pictures. So when I looked at the pictures, Steve, I sent you these pictures. And when I looked at the pictures, it had the orbs in a human shape. It wasn't no longer shots of two orbs spinning in a high velocity, like two atoms or two molecules on the orbital scale. It was a scene of probably three fallen angels. Once again, I know how to identify the fallen angels are always in, they're always in white, and the spirits of the giants are always in red, blue, or yellow. And they were like doing some type of a ceremony. And I have plenty of these pictures. I still have them. And that in itself has allowed me to see that they're moving amongst us. But one of the biggest things, one of the biggest places that they're operating from is from the ocean. And so, once again, it's like I say to myself, how do I find answers to what I'm witnessing and what I'm testifying to that's coming out of the waters? So, of course, we go to the script. I go to the scriptures like I always do. And, the ocean plays a major role in everything that's happening and everything that's happened and everything that's happening and everything that is to come in the future. With prophecy, if you take a look in Revelation chapter 13, the beast rises out of the ocean. If you take a look at Daniel chapter 7, the beasts that he's witnessing and testifying to, they're coming out of the ocean. If you go to Matthew chapter 21, verse 25, when Jesus is giving an explanation to the disciples and letting them know, hey, the disciples asked Jesus and said, you know, Lord, what are the signs that we're to look for? And, you know, and Jesus begins to give them an example of what it is that we are to look for and what it is that's going to happen. In one of these instances, Jesus gets real specific and he says, and there will be signs in the sun and the moon and the stars, and on the earth, distress of nations in perplexity, the waves and the sea roaring, men's hearts failing them for fear of those things which are coming upon the earth. And that, and it gets even more intense, Stephen, Doug, because if we go to the book of Revelation in chapter 21, after it's all said and done, if we notice that John said, and I seen the new heaven and the new earth, and there was no more sea. So I believe that, I always ask the Lord, I was like, Lord, why is there not going to be no more sea? Why is the ocean not going to be here anymore? And I believe that the ocean's not going to be here anymore because it plays such a major role in how these entities and how these powers and where these powers are operating from. I'm going to share one more scripture with you guys that has revealed some deep truth to me. And in the book of Job chapter 26, it says, that dead things are formed and tremble under the waters and the inhabitants thereof. Hell is naked before him and destruction has no covering. If we take a look at the word that was translated into dead things are formed, the word dead is in the Hebrew, it translates to to the Rephaim. And then the word formed, it translates to Kyle, which Kyle means and represents reproduction. So basically what Job is telling us is that the dead Rephaim are reproducing from within under the waters and the inhabitants thereof. These things are living under the waters. And now straight and directly out of the voice of our Lord and Savior, our Father God in heaven, who sits on the throne, when he reprimanded Job out of the whirlwind, he also gave us a key and a revelation as to what it is that lies underneath these waters. And it there are gates to hell underneath these waters. And this is directly from God. This is directly from his mouth. He says, have you entered into the springs of the sea, or have you walked in search of the depth? Have the gates of death been opened unto thee, or have you seen the doors of the shadow of death? So the ocean is one of them. I believe it plays a giant and significant role, and it's one of the places where they're operating from. I believe that there's some spiritual components within the atom and the water hydrogen that play a major spiritual role for these entities to be able to manifest in the way that they do and to operate in the way that they are operating using the water. Now, we have to remember that the ocean and the globe, the earth, is 70% water. And our bodies are also made of 71% water. So water plays a great significant role. As they're moving up in the skies, they're moving up in the firmament. Once again, the firmament is made out of water. So water plays, once again, a major spiritual role, and it's a major component for them in the way that they move and in the way that they operate. This is something that I've been working on and studying and praying on for years, and I will continue to follow up on it. And my intentions is next time that you guys have me on here, that I will be able to bring more, that I will be able to clarify on this more, on the use, the function, the frequency, and the structure of these entities, in Jesus' name.
Gentlemen, we are out of time. Jesse, that was a fantastic, in my view, just a download of information, excuse me, evidence beyond argument with Jesse and Steve. I want to say, Steve, thank you so very much for making this possible. Jesse, thanks for your courage, your bravery, and your work. And to all of you, thank you for your support. Steve, I got about 10 seconds. Anything you want to close with?
Just keep praying, ladies and gentlemen, and pray that God will give us favor, because the narrative is captured on the UAP and UFOs. The mainstream media, listen, they're giving us 1,500 pages of vomit. There are 20 million files. That's what I'm told by insiders, of information that you're only getting to see a little bit. pray, and specifically for us, Doug, that God will grant us favor and the larger audience. It's not about ego. It's about Jesus, because Satan will only follow behind that where Jesus has gone first and foremost. So thank you for your prayers. Thank you for your support, everyone. God bless you all.
God bless you, Q-Files. Make sure you become a subscriber for intelligence briefings. And Jesse, God bless you. Steve, thank you. God bless you. And folks, thank you. May God bless each and every one of you.